you got to understand the industry. Because really, guys like Jesse and myself, we're in the psychology game. We have to understand the consumer journey to even begin to know how to market.
Yep.
So part of understanding the consumer journey is you have to understand the industry.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
So I want to just take a slight right turn and just talk about something in particular, because, you know, one thing that a lot of the conversations I'm having is around sales. People will say, Chris, like, you know, why aren't you pushing more social media ads and or running social media marketing for a lead volume? And the biggest reason is it's not for lack of effort, because I've tried it quite a bit. It's not difficult to get a lead off of social media. I'm talking a new, not if it's a repeat referral, Mrs. Jones, a neighbor, and they're making a post on social media and tagging you, like that is a blessing of a lead, because those have high close rates and it's a good lead source. But I'm talking like straight marketing. It's just that you're rolling a truck and 90% of the time, the person you rolled a truck to can't pass the credit check or get, you know, especially now. So like you're losing money on the majority. So yeah, you can look like a rock star as a marketing company because you brought in 80 leads, but what's the quality of them, you know? And so because we listen to every single phone call and I can track it all the way through into ServiceTitan integration, see what, like, I don't know how it makes financial sense. So, but I've also been paying attention to, and I was talking to Mark about this pre-podcast, financing in general. Like, you know, I've leaned so heavy for years on running specific ads geared towards financing, because the two critical things, again, I'm speaking more specifically to HVAC here, but two critical call to actions that are extremely successful today and have been for the longest time are one, as low as the car sales model. You know, you can do a new installation as low as $79 a month, $99 a month, whatever it is. Second is speed to lead. How quickly can you get to them? So you leveraging the as low as model and leveraging speed to lead are two like real great differentiators. And by the way, you can't use same day or next day if you don't actually do them. So that's pretty important. But those are two things that work really well. Now, financing has changed a little bit. Right? Like their approval rates have dropped. And I've had this conversation with Chad and with Hoffman and like some of my buddies too, around how much they lead. They lead with financing options. And the vast majority of their straight sales are through financing. How are you doing it? Are you leveraging financing, or how are you seeing it impact your business?
Yeah. When you sent that over, that note, that gave me a trigger to dig back in, because I hadn't, when I was sitting with Frank at the Rhino X, they track that, and he sees that all the time. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I wrote it down and came back and touched on it. Yeah, we've seen a 5% decrease in approval ratings year over year, right? First quarter versus first quarter of 5%. And then we've actually seen a drop in our financing. And some of that's we used to offer the spectrum of 5 years, 0%. And we really pulled all that stuff back and making sure that they're only offering, because you just can't afford to pay 18 to, you know, even with a rebate, 10% on marketing. So we want that financing rate to be around 2%. Right. So we're balancing that right now. We do lead with financing every replacement we have, but just a great reminder to touch base with my sales manager and say, okay, are we actually maximizing this? So I appreciate the reminder, because I think there's room for improvement here.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's, listen, like to me, it's still such a good lead in, because most people can't write the check for the full amount, you know, and they can make sense of the car model. Why do you think so many of these low, no credit situation car things leverage monthly payments? Because one, it's a psychological move, but because, you know, you can digest that I could pay $79 a month or whatever it is.
Right.
You can digest that versus the bulk amount. It's just, that's typical. That's the whole reason you use financing.
Yep.
But just because approval rates are declining doesn't mean that you stop doing it. Like you still got to try and lead with it. And if nothing else as your secondary option, like you still got to leverage the financing piece of it.
Yeah. On the service side, we brought in the Green Sky Good Leap representatives and did training classes with our technicians because it's right there on Service Titan, right? So how do we actually use it? Because if a confused mind says no, so we have to eliminate any confusion, any effort on their part. It's just got to be seamless. So we, January or February, we came back in and said, okay, let's retrain on this, make sure everybody has a full understanding. So we've seen a nice uptick on that side. But I need to dig in on the sales side and see if we're still maintaining. We've always been told by the reps, because they can all see that stuff, whether back in the day it was Wells Fargo, we've always been the number one finance company in the Des Moines area as volume wise.
Yeah, I was leveraging that. I was leveraging Wells Fargo in Des Moines with Bell Brothers back in the day with Chuck Gassman.
Yeah.
Like I was dating myself there too. God, I wonder how he's doing. It's been a long time since I talked to him, but like
I just talked to him. He's retired. He's in Marco Island most of the year. But he's still active. He build my future, which is a high school program here locally. They bring about 4,000 high school kids in. He's texting me, hey, are you signing up this year again? And so he's still heavily and giving back to the
great, community. Great guy. When I was building apps back in the day for contractors, he was like one of the early adopters who brought it on, and it worked perfectly. He rolled out to his membership customers, but he's a great dude. So I doubt that he's listening to this, but if he was, shout out to Chuck Gassman. If you know who he is, you know what we're talking about. Good guy. We did some nice stints in that market of growth. It was pretty fun. So let me shift gears, because one thing that was really cool, actually, we're talking about Chuck Gassman, is, you know, he was really involved working directly with me. And by the way, this is a while ago, where I'm still like wearing lots of hats in the business. I mean, I had, you know, from running a digital marketing company, I didn't just, you know, buy one. I've done everything in the company with the exception of be a developer. And I was kind of a developer, kind of. But you know, I'm almost like my dev team would be making fun of me right now for saying that, but I did pretty much everything except be a developer in the business. But I worked really close with, you know, a lot of owners early, especially early on, just to make sure that we knew where our marketing was going, and they were still trying to wear multiple hats. So what you had to, you know, I thought this was a great conversation to have, and you and I've chatted about it a little bit, but you know, there is a, for those listening, like there is a time when you do need to bring someone in house to manage all the marketing things, especially at a certain size. It's not like some set number. It's just when it makes sense to you and your business and all the things that you're doing and what you're spending. And is it something that you, the owner, are good at or not good at? Because you certainly got to pay really, really close attention to it. So, you know, you heard Mark say early on that he's sitting around a $30 million company. Like, that makes sense. You want to bring somebody in to quarterback the marketing, you know, the marketing. And by the way, I'm not saying that this person is now your in-house person doing all the things. If you heard that, that's not what I'm saying. But they have to quarterback the partnerships. You want them to have skill, but they have to quarterback the partnerships. And you have to be able to trust somebody at some point to take it and run with it. So you recently brought that in-house, Mark. And what I want the listeners to know is, one, the first off, why? Like, why did you decide, hey, it was time to bring somebody in to help with my marketing? And this was towards the end of last year, right? I think when he came on board?
Mid-year, yeah.
Okay.
Last summer.
Yeah, so just let the listeners know, like, why you said, hey, man, like, it's time for me to bring somebody in and help.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise out there, but I started, you know, listening to your podcast before we started working with you and other podcasts and Gary Vee and Alex and, you know, just all this I Think Media. And I just knew that I was going to fall. My limitations and my ability to be focused on that world when, you know, I want to focus on greenfielding or acquisitions or doing the next thing. I can't be all things, right? And that area of the business is changing so rapidly. Like, I can't keep up with it. I was trying to keep up with it. I was spending more time doing research on something that I didn't really fully understand, right? Like, Google started making all these changes that disrupted the whole thing last spring. And I can't do that. I had marketing people in place, but not to the level of understanding. So I intentionally went out to find a CMO, and Jesse, we brought Jesse on mid last year. He was part of startups in the website design, build, this pay-per-click, all of this stuff. So he came from that background and then got more into the private world of businesses that were bigger than ours and helped them on their marketing. But I was really led to the learning system and creating what drives me nuts is clicking on an ad for a particular thing, and it takes me to their website. And then I have to search for whatever they were trying to sell me or buy, and it's just a terrible customer experience. So I wanted to revamp our customer experience. So even those small things, you click on a free furnace ad or $100 off, like it takes you and gives you the information and gives you a video. We have a video studio now that they put in. So we're shooting videos every single week. I think we've created 150 plus maybe at this point videos, and they're strictly a learning center, right? We're not selling you anything. We're educating you so that when you're ready to make that decision, you're making it based off of facts and then a trust factor, hopefully, that we've created for you.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I can't remember what episode we did on that where it's like you can just go on site and like whatever it is you're doing, like you're doing every single day, do a quick like video on what you're doing. It's not a sales piece. It's just education, because more often than not, somebody's going to call you to do it anyway. But yeah, it's just an education tool. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in you know, this is like the reason I think this is important to talk about is there's so many listening right now too. They're probably wearing multiple hats with it and you don't know who to trust. And always it comes down, you know, it's a trusting. I talked to my employees about this all the time. If we can remove the feelings and just get to the facts, we should have a solid relationship with the customer, because we'll know exactly if it is working or if it's not working. But what we can't lose is trust. So anytime you're bringing in somebody to run your marketing for you, you're trusting that they are who they say that they are, right? And their experience, you know, their experience can give you confidence, because a lot of people can interview well. Yeah. You know, you've interviewed leaders that you're like, interview great, and then you're like, damn, how did I miss that one? Yeah. I've done it, you've done it, everybody's done it. Probably listening. If you're listening, you've probably done it too. But this is such an important piece to this puzzle, is making sure you have somebody who you can confidently believe in as your marketing manager. Now, keep in mind, you know, you mentioned Frank and all these guys. Like, these are guys I know very, very well. We've had a lot of successful runs together and building these things. So they trust me. That's why they come to something like Rhino X, is because I've earned that trust, because I know how to execute. But I also know what to look for, and I know the industry. So you asked me to go into, you know, we were talking again pre-podcast. I took on the CMO role. And as part of that CMO role, I'm now overseeing a legal department, which is in private, you know, personal injury and mass tort. I didn't even know what the hell mass tort was until I got into that. Med malpractice, I knew what that was. So I kind of have to be the CMO over that, and I have to be the CMO over healthcare, more so like orthodontics, dental. I don't know those industries. So I had to take 6 months just to dive in and learn them. Oh, and by the way, still run Rhino. You know, still be a leader at Rhino. I don't run Rhino, but, you know, like still had to be a leader in Rhino and execute on all the things. But you got to understand the industry, because really, guys like Jesse and myself, like we're in the psychology game. We have to understand the consumer journey to even begin to know how to market. Yep. So part of understanding the consumer journey is you have to understand the industry. What do they look for? Do they really give a crap about the manufacturer? No. I don't care what the manufacturers or the OEMs say. Like, it is not it. They care about you. Do they trust you sitting in the home? And what do your reviews say? Things like that. So picking that person is so incredibly important. And when you pick that person, you get two things with that. You get their knowledge and you get their ego. Okay? And that's a big deal, because every single, keep in mind, 16 years I've been doing this. And I've worked with a lot of marketing managers, a lot of marketing coordinators, a lot of CMOs of all kinds. And I don't care what you say, at a certain level, you bring an ego with you. And that's okay. Maybe you've earned that. But what you have to make sure that person knows is that what are the metrics in place to measure the success of it, to guarantee you, Mark, or you, the listener, that the person you bring in is successful or not, because you don't know. That's why you brought them in the first place. So you have to make sure that the risk that you're taking in hiring the person, that you can not only just believe what they say, but you have to put some sort of measurables in place to continue to trust them. Because you do, otherwise you're going to be churning through these people who interviewed well, who came in, and they always want to bring in whoever they worked with before, who also doesn't know the industry. And then they're going to put their best practices in place until it's been long enough that it shakes out and you're like, okay, damn, that I trusted him, it didn't work out. That's what I'm trying to avoid, by the way. That's why we're having this conversation for everybody to hear, is it's how can you, or how have you, being a systems and processes guy, put something in place to help, you know, Jesse, for you in particular, be successful at you have marketing partners. Like, you're, I don't know if he's doing your media buy for you or whatever else, you know, but what have you put in place to just sure up, like some fail safes in place to make sure that you all run to the same thing and measuring the same things, to that way you can confidently feel like, hey, this is successful. What have you put in place for something like that?
One thing you'll hear a lot from Blue On users, they've stopped ordering the wrong part. Derek from FH Fuhrer used to trust vendors for parts, only to send his techs out with the wrong one, costing time, money, and customer trust. Since bringing on Blue On, their misses have dropped to zero. He even says that if a mistake happens now, it's usually because someone didn't run it through Blue On. It's become essential to their parts process. And here at Peterman Brothers, we're definitely seeing that impact too. Click on the link in the description and grab a quick demo. It will be worth it.
Yeah. So having service tighten, and it's been a process. It takes a lot of patience.
Yep.
It takes being very, very curious and the conversations and listening with intent to not make a decision. But you gotta keep them confident, right? I've had the tendency in the past to be very reactionary and want to move really fast, and through some mistakes several times, I've learned to kind of, okay, let's talk through these. And I have two questions. How likely are you to achieve this goal on time? Because I am not the expert. I'm hiring Jesse as the expert in this field. So right. What questions can I ask on our one-on-ones to kind of get a sense of where he's at? Is it BS, or can I track the road and the future that he's telling me? And then how do you feel about the quality of work done so far? Just those two questions and let them talk can really let them, and then ask questions. Okay, tell me more. And these things have been two critical questions for me in those one-on-ones. But we work together through Service Titan and Nexstar's marketing KPI worksheet and expectations to melt those together so that we can pull real live data every single day and week and month out of Service Titan. We learned a lot from Rhino, and Rhino Tracks, right? Has a lot of great information that we can kind of offset and look and see if those, but we really had to, and we're still working on, I mean, that scorecard in the digital world and website and tracking, and then you got your mass media that doesn't really track, has been really challenging. But I feel like we have this really good marketing dashboard now, so that we actually have the KPI so that we can track how we're doing, right? Because without a KPI and a set point of this is working or not working, or, you know, it's below or above, like, forget it.
Yeah.
It's story time, right? They can,
that's it.
What do they say? About 18 that's months it. Before the truth will just catch up with itself. Well, you don't have 18.
Don't have 18 months.
Right? You don't have 18 months. You have, to your point, it took you 6 months, and that's about what my leash is about 6 months. And this trade is hard, right? There's so many moving targets, especially doing four trades. But you gotta agree on something, and then you can start evaluating and get better at your evaluation from there.
I love that you said story time. That's what it is. That was actually the perfect description of what you have to deal with. And that's what you're trusting, is that the story is, you know, true. Yeah. That they're telling. So another thing that you said that is critical, and you heard me talk a little bit about this, and actually you heard me talk about this at Rhino X, and it was with Ara, you know, and what I've been working on with Service Titan and Ara involved on answering this question for you, because this is a difficult one to answer. And if you don't have KPIs to measure it to, then what do you measure? Then how can you possibly have a win or a loss if you don't know the number? Like definitively know the number. So people listen to podcasts like this, or they'll call me, they reach out to me or whoever and say, hey, what is a good, you know, average cost per lead for an install? And like, that's like, everybody cringes when you hear that. You're like, oh gosh, there's so many variables that happen to it. And nobody wants to hear it depends. So there's gotta be a number. And I thought, you know, and this is one thing I'm very proud of that I've done a long time is, you know, and the reason I'm telling you this is that what Mark is talking about right now, like that was a real life description of, I mean, we work together as in a partnership and he's working through it. And what I've tried to figure, I've had so many of these conversations that I thought, man, how do we get rid of this conversation? So somebody's got to be able to provide something, you know, that people can trust. I like to think that I'm a trustworthy guy. I've had been in business a long time. A lot of people trust, a lot of smart people trust me, you know, but I earn those things because I've always shared the facts. And then by facts, it's always taken. I just look at what my own customer base has done in these home services. And I look at the averages. Like that's a pretty good benchmark to go off of. You can take out the outliers, but then you have a benchmark. But what if you, like, here's a perfect example. You know, Frank is a customer of mine, DeMarco. You know, just, I was just on a call with him last week. And by the way, at Rhino X, a lot of people stood up after the mastermind sessions and said, pull back on, you know, PPC, right? Remember hearing that, Mark?
I remember hearing it a lot. Yeah.
Guess who didn't pull back on PPC? AnyHour, Champions, Gettle, Peterman, you know, like, sounds right. Actually, it's not that. It's just, is it actually really working or not? Listen, it's expensive for me too. I'm an agency. Like that costs me a lot of money too. And I'm always worried about cost per lead. But what if we could see not only how are we performing, but how are you specifically performing on PPC, your team? So yeah, you can go into ServiceTitan and look at, hey, this ad came from a PPC campaign. That was a drain cleaning ad. You booked it. You didn't close it, but you proposed X amount. So what are you, so, but let's not just look at closed revenue. Let's also look at proposed revenue that's pending that you haven't closed and attach that back to the lead source and say, now, does it still make sense? Because it's not just marketing. Yeah, you got it booked, so you did your job. But yeah, that takes, you know, somebody's got to put a piece all that thing together. Well, that's what my whole thing was about with Aura was like, hey, I have 800 contractors as clients. And of them, a massive chunk of them are on ServiceTitan or whatever CRM you're using, by the way. If you're using HouseCoPro, if you're using Sarah, if you're using whatever, I don't care. You can still do all these things. Your agency can do these things for you. But you can attach every single lead that comes in to your CRM and see whether you sold something or didn't sell something. The gap is always, always, always been between your field management system that you're using, whichever one that is, your CRM, whatever you're using, and the lead opportunity that comes in. There's this gap in between the two that everyone looks at the actual, what the leads are in your field management system and how you, and the closed revenue attached to it. And that's how you've been able to dictate, do I move forward or do I not move forward? That's only half of the puzzle. It's half of it. So you're making a poor decision because you're not using all the right information. You have to look at opportunity. Most people are like, how the hell you do that, Chris? It's been the missing gap for so long. So this is where it's easy to tie together now because of technology. So that's what I've been able to put in place at Rhino, which is nice. And I've been, you know, beta tested with AnyHour. So now we can see real time, every lead, cost per lead. How did they perform? How did we perform? What was lead quality? Did they sell it? Did they not sell it? What's pending? You can see everything by logging in and looking at it every single day. Like that will allow you, the person making the decision, who's managing the marketing person, to be able to say, okay, well, at least on average, you know, first quarter, second quarter, over the 6 month span, like Mark talks about, that's his leash. That's about my runway too. And if I can now tell you, hey, Mark, guess what? Here's what the benchmark should be for this that you should be looking at. Based on everybody else, this is what the benchmarks are. You should be getting a 12-to-1 return on this or a 7-to-1 return on this. That's what I'm trying to do to help the industry, to take all of the experience and the customers I have in this exact same space and say, hey, let's start looking at benchmarks. That would help you make a decision much faster with confidence, and that would be able to help you hold Jesse responsible, right? Yep. Or for you, the marketing, you know, you, the listener right now, that would allow you to hold somebody, know, responsible without having to know what the actual number is and have a number that you can trust. So that's been the problem forever. It's so difficult. And I've been that for so many people, you know, like I'm always the sounding board. Like David Geiger will go into a board meeting. I can always tell when his board meetings are because I'm getting text messages random about cost per customer acquisition on, you know, an install ad in Raleigh, North Carolina, you know, like on the, you know, so, but what if I could just automate that so it does it for you? That's the world I'm living in now. So, you know, it's a hard decision that you have to make to bring that marketing person in-house to quarterback it for you. But my God, it is an important decision that you have to make because today, if you don't have brand equity, you better market your tail off because you have to get that brand out there. And the brand is so important. But you also have to know for every dollar that's spent, what is it doing for you? And is it a you problem? Is it a them problem? Or is it a we problem? Is it who is it? Where's the breakdown? Yeah. And I promise you, if you have all that tracking in place, you can get it done. And it's all automated now. So if your agency doesn't do it, it's not because they can't. It's not because they can't. It's just because they don't. And you got to be able to keep up with it. That's what makes some of us industry leaders to be able to help support, you know, you trying to get from 30 to 60 to 100 to whatever on your journey.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Felt like I was in church there. You were preaching. I loved it.
Man, listen, you know, I it's just, you know, like it's, I have, you know, you got to keep in mind where my heart is, right? Because anybody who knows me knows I am not driven by money. I am not driven by money. It's a byproduct of what I love to do. I am driven by serving the home services industry, and I've done it for so long, so I care deeply about it. And I'm a problem solver. It's Rhino Strategic Solutions, not Rhino Strategic Problems, right? So we're always trying to come up with problems, but I've always listened to the contractors to try and help solve that problem and be a good partner. And I'm going to have a good reputation, Mark. Like I try to maintain that by doing the right thing and trying to support you. It's why I put on Rhino X. Rhino X doesn't make me money. You know, but it's just, you know, one of these deals where this is the stuff I take away from it. And I get to talk to all the biggest players in one space and I hear the things from them. And then I try to execute on it to be supportive. So the whole reason I went through that exercise with Mark is because it was a real time exercise that he and I have been through, call it over the last 6 months. So I thought it was a really great topic to talk about, especially this year, because listen, we're just going into Q2. You got plenty of time to write the ship and get this stuff in place. And if you need any help whatsoever, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to Mark as well. So I want to wrap this thing up because we're already like an hour into this thing. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, cancel job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. If you can believe that, we're already. I told you we were going to get you out at the top of the hour, and I've already lied. So let's finish with this, though, because I'm really eager, you know, to kind of hear what's on your mind. And I know you're thoughtful about these things, but I want to end this with, you know, what's next for Golden Rule? Because there's only a handful of options here. You know what you can do? More services, bigger service area, private equity partnerships. Like, I don't know what it is. I know you and I've chit chatted about roofing, you know, things like that. But what is next for you? Have you thought, you know, and maybe it's just blocking and tackling right now, but what's next for Golden Rule?
Yeah. So I did a bunch of the blocking and tackling with my COO and managers since September through the first year and set those, got the call center and all that stuff. But what I'm excited about is you know, when we were looking with the private equities and all that stuff, you know, did I have the proper estate planning in place? Once I made that transaction, what was it going to do? And so I've worked diligently in getting that and getting a holding company set up in there. And then that would buy a roofing company or the plumbing company. And so excited here in May, we should have final licensing in place for greenfielding. And there's a potential acquisition in our neighboring city that's three times our size to the west of us. So super excited about that. And then I got a NDA signed with a little local company here in town. So that is where my focus is. Since we decided to stay private and not go that route as of yet, we just have to grow this thing. Like I have to give the people that I've hired, the CEO that's a top level CEO and my CMO, like I got to get them places to grow, right? And Des Moines only going to be so much of that. So I'm super excited. We got at estate planning, like, if people are out there, and I know a lot of people have probably already made the mistake, made a transaction, then they're like, now what? Just get that work done now. There's so many options and there's so much money that, to be saved if you set it up correctly, get your valuation on your company, get that into your trust and reap the benefits of that down the road. So I've been working hard on all of that stuff to make sure I have the platform set up to take this next step.
Hey man, congratulations on building a good business.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I have enjoyed like just getting, you know, for us getting to know each other and some of our conversations and I respect what you've built, you know, and you didn't get it handed to you, you know, you had to work through it. And I respect the fact that you stay private and you keep chipping away at it because I guarantee you, you're getting letters and calls and emails. On the. I know you are. I know, especially because the size of your business, because there's, you know, you think about it that are privately held. There's not that many. So you have options. So I respect that decision, and you know, and hopefully Miranda's excited to do that right along, you know, side of you too. And she finally got to use her design skills and do some decoration, didn't she?
That's right.
But listen, and I'm excited, and I just want to, you know, say I'm grateful for being, or you know, for letting, you know, me and even my company be a part of the journey and listening to the podcast as well, being a part of your journey. Like to me, that is the reward.
Yeah.
You know, that I get from it. So it's exciting to be a part of it, excited to watch it. And, you know, to our listeners, like this is close to where you're at. Even if you're sitting at, you know, 1 million, 5 million, like this guy's much closer to where you're at than sometimes some of these behemoths. And he's not so far, even though he's hit 30 million, he's not so far away that he doesn't remember some of the details of being in those sizes and can help. And certainly he's willing to help. And I think that what we're going to do is just, you just want to share your LinkedIn, have the, you know, just use your LinkedIn contact for these folks that are listening to reach out to you.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, you can find him on LinkedIn, you know, and just reach out to him. Like I said, he's a good wealth of knowledge and he's certainly more than willing to be helpful. So, Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time and going over. So I apologize for that, but felt like it was worth it. But I appreciate you coming on, man.
Awesome. I appreciate being on and thank you for your time and all your support on the partnership too. And shout out to Jocelyn. She's amazing on your team.
Joss is fantastic. Thanks for doing that. She's good people. You know, I'll give a shout out back to Jesse on your team, you know, it'll be exciting to see where he's at in another 6 months with the business. I know you guys are working on some cool stuff. So, to our listeners, you know, take advantage of these situations, you know, I know Mark's are you still a part of Nexstar?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So, you know, he's implemented a lot of the processes from there. Doesn't mean you have to be a part of Nexstar to reach out to him. It's not what I'm saying. Or, you know, he's been through a lot and he's adopted some of those processes, taken it, made it his own. He's willing to connect with you. Still privately held business, still looking at it through a little bit of a different lens. Take advantage of this stuff. Like, you know, he did the same thing. He's always trying to be, you know, a student. I would encourage you to do the exact same thing. And listen, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.